time for another edition of One-on-One with Ducky. Here's your host, Sean Hugus.
Greetings, grinders. It's another lovely day in Southern California. It's probably about 80 degrees right now. It's just after 6 p.m. So this is not one of those moments that you'd be jealous, I think. I think around the country it's pretty hot. Just want to remind people it's always beautiful in Southern California. And it's another time for One-on-One with Ducky. I am Ducky Succumbs, a.k.a. Sean Hugus. Or I guess it should be I'm Sean Hugus, a.k.a. Ducky Succumbs. But you get the point. Today we have a guest on the show who is making his debut on the Roto Grinders airwaves. He does work for Roto Grinders as a blog manager. And I just thought it would be fun to put him on because he has some interesting side other work that he does. And he's one of the people going through the chaos that is DFS and politics right now. And I thought we'd discuss that, among other things. Welcome to the show, Hesh Hambazaza. I pronounced that correct?
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Pleasure. I know. I'm excited. I always see you at the parties and things like that stuff. And it's time they gave you some airtime. I mean, come on.
It's about time. I'm a very likable guy, really. People like me.
See? So
I should be on all the channels.
You should be on all the channels. I think they should. There's a couple unlikable people they could take off on the daily shows, I'm sure. I'm not going to name names.
I can probably do better than a few of those guys anyway. I mean, you can just look at my ROI. It's way better than guys like, I don't know, Draft Cheat or something.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. Draft Cheat's just a curmudgeon. Yeah, I mean, come on.
He's just angry.
You know, I used to be an angry young man at one time, too. I know that's hard to believe, but there was a time. So I had an English teacher call me that, I think. He said, you're an angry young man, and I took it as a compliment.
It's great. Yeah, you already have a starter kit for an angry old man.
Yeah, I know. I'm halfway there. I already looked like the old man from Up, so to have that going is...
I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah, trust me, it's been said. It's okay. But there's worse things I could be told I look like, I suppose. Do not put those on Twitter, people. I don't want to know. But so first off, you are a blog manager at Roto Grinders. So what do you do specifically for RG?
So I actually do a couple of things. One of the things I do is I started off as an editor on the team, and then as the site grew bigger and bigger, you know, basically as an editor, when articles would come in or blogs would come in, somebody would have to put them up on the site, check them for grammar, adjust all the pictures on there and everything, make everything look nice, the fonts and everything. So that was one of the jobs I was doing. And around the same time, soccer got started up on Draft Street. Way ago. And I started writing articles for Roto Grinders as a soccer guy as well. So that kind of became those two things started kind of happening at the same time. But then the Roto Grinders got bigger and bigger, and they needed somebody just dedicated to blogs. As a blog came in, I would get an email saying, hey, this so-and-so wrote a blog, it's ready for review. I would go, you know, I'd open it up, read it, check, make sure there's no, not breaking any random rules or anything like that. And then publish it on the site. And then end of the month. Go ahead.
No, go continue. Continue, please.
Oh, and end of the month, I start going through all the blogs again, taking notes on each one, try to read through them. And we give the blog awards. We have $500 we give to bloggers, and there's a free roll too if you write a blog.
Well, see, there you go. I mean, I never won the blog of the month.
But you're just too cool for that anyway.
I know. I'm above that. I understand. Your points though brought up two questions. First off, let's start with question number one. How tough was it to read my blogs, and how much work needed to be done on those? So I assume you used to get mine as well.
Yours always came in when I was at the computer, so I seem to always happen to handle yours. Yours were interesting, but the biggest problem was you, for some reason, when you type it up in whatever word processor you use, the quotation marks don't match up with RotoGrinders quotation marks.
Oh,
so wow. any links you put in there ended up being broken. So I had to go in and fix every single link.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. I know, but still, it's just I feel bad.
Trust me though. That was the least of our worries. That was the least problematic part of reading some of the reading some of the stuff.
No, I'm kidding. I'm filled with controversy.
We have really good writers and RotoGrinders. We have guys that really know their stuff and guys who take the time to make things interesting and not just give you, you know, bland stuff. And so I'm very happy to be part of the team.
That's good. Yeah, and you became a soccer writer. How hard is it to be a soccer fan in Alabama where you live? You live in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yep.
So how hard is it to be a soccer fan there? I mean, you're in football country. Basically, it's football and everything else there. I don't even know if there is even everything else. So
there's barely something else. People care about basketball when Auburn or Alabama are doing well, and that's about it. That's about the extent of sports. Oh, and there's NASCAR as well. A lot of NASCAR fans are.
Of course.
And a lot of what else people like? That's it. They don't follow the NFL. They don't follow any pro sports. They think all pro sports is garbage. And
So when Leicester City's playing West Ham, nobody's getting up early to watch.
No, I'm the only one. Me and probably like the 20 Italians who live here or something like that to get up early in the morning to watch it. That's about it. I think there
what
was
is
a
your
bar.
Team you support?
Yeah. Oh, what's I'm a Chelsea fan.
Are you a Chelsea fan? And they're not doing that well this year, if I'm correct, right?
The opposite. It's the opposite of well. They're doing terrible this year. There was a point to early in the year when I was afraid they were going to get relegated, but they seem to have at least landed in the middle of the table, so I'm not too worried about them now.
And just to explain to people, I know what relegated means, but just to explain to the people that don't follow European soccer, what would relegated mean to the people?
Oh, okay. So European soccer, each country has several divisions. The top division has 20 or so teams. And every year, the top team is the winner of the league. The top three or four can go to Champions League, depending on what country it is. And the bottom three usually move down to the bottom, to the second tier division. And in return, the top three from the second tier division move up to the top league. If that made sense.
Right.
They do a swap. The bottom three and the top three do a swap. And so
it would be like if the Atlanta Braves next year would be playing in AAA and the Gwinnett Braves moved up to the major leagues in that situation.
Exactly.
So,
Okay. Whoever wins AAA would move up to the major league, and the worst team in the MLB would move down to AAA.
It's a thought. I'm just telling you, people. If you're worried about money, I know this has come up before. Yeah,
a lot of
just
revenue
to motivate
would
your team.
Being lost. You know, these teams would lose a lot of revenue. There's no more tanking.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a thought. Philadelphia 76ers would have a lot of problems going through that. But
I don't think they'd ever.
And
come
you
back
said
up.
There's no, probably not. Come to think of it, they'd need a break or two. You said there's a bar though. There is one bar in Huntsville that you
there's
can watch.
There's one bar
soccer.
In Huntsville. When I first moved here, I discovered it. That's actually. And at the time I was single and I'm married and without kids and anything like that. So it was easy to, you know, get up at 6 a.m. on Saturday and drive off to this bar and they would show games. There was like maybe three or four guys there and the bartender was a British guy. So that's why he was always there. He was there to watch the games. So, but I don't think that bar is open anymore. I'm sure
they have a lot of those bars here in LA. I had one friend, I think it was the year they had the World Cup in South Africa. Mm-hmm. He became a raging alcoholic during the South African period, I think. He was getting up at 2 a.m. and then showing up at work,
you know, he was
half drunk.
He was probably suffering from all the vuvuzelas that were playing in his ears all the time. That's the way he drank so much.
That would do it to me, too. I remember those things still haunt me, and I didn't watch that many of the games. So what would you say to people who want to come to RotoGrinders, what would be the easiest method for them to get an in at working at a place like RotoGrinders, since you went through a unique path yourself? So
the way I did it, so I'm not a top player. I don't play thousands of dollars of volume a month or even a week or a day or anything like that. Barely, I don't even think I play thousands of dollars a year. These guys, basically what I started doing is I started writing a blog about the NBA. I had an interesting topic in my head about the correlation of the odds before the game start and whether or not the game is going to be a blowout and whether you should avoid players from the team that's winning. That's, you know, let's say Golden State Warriors going against the 76ers and they're minus 20. Do you completely fade the Golden State Warriors or do you stack them? So, you know, I ran the numbers and it turns out that, you know, I wrote a few blogs and ended up turning it into a Roto Academy course eventually. And John Bales called me up and said, "Hey, this is cool. Can you turn this into a course?" I'm like, okay, let's give it a try. But what I ended up doing is I was really involved in the forums, and I got to basically just, you know, talking about the games and the slates with people on there. I was, you know, in general, if you want to be involved with the site, is people have to know that you're a reliable person, that you're not the kind of person who's going to start up stuff for no reason. You're not going to jump in the forums and argue with people back and forth. You're not going to go in chat and start spamming. You know, you might try to blog here or there that's, you know, good content that, hey, I recognize that username. If your username becomes recognizable through just your decent work, and, you know, I got on Twitter as well. I, you know, I started following all the names in Grindr's Live and the few guys that I recognize their usernames, and started getting involved in the community. An opening showed up for an assistant editor. It was an unpaid position. They just wanted somebody who was on the site all the time, who could read the content, who could just kind of check things out real quick before they go live. And I applied and I got it. And from there, you know, position grew and I'm here now. Made it out to the Roto-Gardeners parties a couple of times.
Yeah, the Roto-Gardeners parties are fun. They are, yeah, you know, you get to meet all these people, and they all are very smart people, and they all have different routes that they get to these things. Speaking of being smart, and this explains a lot of the reason why you're able. I mean, your base came from doing a mathematical kind of blog where you were trying out numbers and things like that. Why don't you explain to the people what your other job is that you do? I hate to say your real job, but it's your main job. How about that? During this time,
it's the one that's paying for the kids' college fund. How about that?
Yes, we can go with that.
Yeah, I'm an engineer with NASA. I actually do. Avionics testing and analysis for the next NASA rocket, the SLS ship. Wow. It's going to be launching in 2019. The schedule for 2019. It's not going to happen in 2019. Shh, you didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that. That didn't come up.
No. Wow. Nobody knows.
That's amazing. I mean, what did you have to major in college to get into a field like that? What was your start?
So I majored in physics with a minor in math and after that I decided, I was trying to figure out what to do, and I applied for a few jobs, didn't get anything that I really wanted to do. So I went back to grad school for electrical engineering. And
where'd you go to school, by the way? Where'd you go?
Washington University in St. Louis.
Oh, that is a prestigious, you may not know any of their sports teams, but that's a prestigious school to go to. So
it's the Bears, in case you were wondering.
Okay. I had no idea.
Half of the student population has no idea either. So it's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I went to UCLA and I found out 70% of the students don't know who Steve Alford is. So go figure. It's a same idea. You know, it's a little more drastic at my school, so say the least, but okay, so you did math and physics, then you did you said electrical engineering, and then from there, and now you're building rockets. You're building a rocket rockets. Scientist, in effect. Yeah.
In effect, yeah.
I mean, let's go with it. It sounds.
No, I mean, I have to wear the white lab coat when I'm in the lab and I'm testing stuff anyway. So if things are going up in space, it has to be a clean environment. I have to wear a beard net and a hair net if I'm in there, if I'm touching stuff.
Oh, You got a beard net. Wow. A beard net, yeah. That'd be intense. What's it's the coolest? Really, I mean, I know you can't talk about everything. I understand. But what's the coolest thing you could talk about that you've seen while doing that job?
So while doing this job, let's see. One of the things that we've got to do is we have a lot of partners from all over the world, and we had a team, a bunch of Germans that we work with. They're building a part of it that we're importing into here, and the team came out here to work on it. And I'm sitting in this room, and I'm working on this math calculation with these three German guys, and the one guy I recognize, his last name was Heisenberg, and I'm sitting there thinking, no, it's not the Heisenberg you're thinking of. The Heisenberg you're thinking of is Breaking Bad. I'm thinking of.
Well, Heisenberg. Did I know why he was named Heisenberg? Why he was named Heisenberg, though. Yeah.
So for those who don't know, there's a famous physicist who's German, whose name is Heisenberg, and he came up with the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And so I asked the guy, afterwards, I'm asking him, hey, you wouldn't be in any way related to Heisenberg, would you? Because I know it's not a unique name. He goes, actually, I'm his grandnephew, something like that. Like, he's his grandnephew or great grandnephew, something along those lines. He said he's fourth or fifth in line, like down generation. So that was pretty cool to meet. And he said he had a lot of. Like, so how many of your family are physicists or engineers? He goes, all of us are. Like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
I think if you're a Heisenberg, you kind of have to be, I would think.
You kind of have to.
So yeah. for you, that's like if I met George Clooney's cousin, it would probably be in the same comparable, probably, yeah, for like, when I'm at work, I guess.
Like, Clooney. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Do I know you? Yeah, I know, somehow, yeah. It would be so it's like a rock star in the physics world. Yeah, I guess would be the whole thing.
He is his great granduncle, I guess.
But he's like one. He's one or two generations off of eliteness, I guess, mm-hmm. would be the whole thing. Yeah. And Huntsville, Alabama, is known for having a big aerospace industry, which I did not know. But there is one negative that we're going to talk about in terms of Alabama right now. You are one of the states right now that's going through DFS chaos right now. How is that happen? How is that working for you right now? What's going on?
It's really depressing. I mean, when it started coming out, when I started hearing, oh, hey, attorney generals are looking into this, and like, oh no, if Alabama's on the list, we're going to come. And then, I start seeing all these states that aren't Alabama get mentioned, like, oh boy, this is bad. Because it's like when something bad's about to happen, and you see the world tumbling around you, and you look around, it's like it's gonna the excrement is gonna hit the proverbial fan, it's gonna happen.
You could say shit on here. That's no problem.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, okay. I'm not. It's not as bad as night sweats, but don't worry. You don't have to restrain yourself.
Okay. Well, then if I'm not restraining myself. If you think the shit's going to hit the fan and you're watching the dominoes fall, New York, California's talking about it, Texas is talking about it, Washington's already not even, it's already been banned for years over there. Illinois, all these big states, these blue states, essentially, a lot of them are blue states. And you start thinking, if the blue states are doing this, I'm in a very red state, and it's we don't even have the lottery over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lucky, I mean, part of me was thinking, yeah, I don't think our state legislators are smart enough to recognize that this is a thing that they can go after. So I might buy a couple of years to do it. And then, there was all this news with the governor. I don't know if you heard about this over in California, but our governor is involved in a nice little sex scandal going on.
I've heard the tapes.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that. Yeah, I watch Rachel Maddow, so I'm aware.
Unfortunately, I've heard the tapes too, and it's really weird.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. So I thought there's no way they're more worried about other things. Right. What I didn't calculate is that he's probably looking for something to distract. And hey, look at this. The moral, I'm the moral authority. I'm the moral high ground governor. I stopped illegal gambling in Alabama, or fantasy sports. I stopped the fantasy sports. But, you know, it is what it is. I know there's legislation coming through now. I know our neighbors to the north, Tennessee, are in the process of passing a bill now that's really good for fantasy sports. And I know that all the Roto Grinders guys were going up to the courthouse and working on it.
I know. I get to see them all in suits. It was really weird. I didn't know
really
how they're
strange. Yeah. I did not think that Cal and Brian own suits, but apparently they do.
I'm sure they ran over to a place and bought them off the rack right away. Yeah. You know,
do you think they went to one of those tuxedo rental places and asked for the cheapest suits they had?
It's quite possible. I don't mean to insult them. They're all fine people.
I don't think it's because they're cheap. I don't think it's because they're cheap at all.
No.
I think these guys are very nice people. I think it's more along the lines of they're never going to wear it again, so why spend the money on one?
I think they might have gone two suits for X dollars place and then just each bought a suit and went for that and then got the quickie tailor job. I mean, they might have had scotch tape holding up the pants at some point, you know, in certain places. But
you think they're wearing one of those shirts without the sleeves that kind of just, you know, goes under the jacket?
Oh, yeah, like a dickie. Yeah. It's entirely possible they were wearing dickies at that point.
Some clip-on ties, maybe?
To say, yeah, I wonder if you did a test of all of the Roto Grinders office and said how many of you can tie a half Windsor, how many people would succeed. I'd probably set it at 40% would be my number on that, so. Just a guess.
I think they have 12 people in the office now.
Okay, I'll set it at five.
I think five of them can do it.
Yeah, I'm with you at five. I think five would be fine. So, okay. So, I mean, you're not a high volume player, so
I'm not going to.
You will be disappointed. And you will be angry.
I'll be sad. I've already written my state legislator a couple of times. He's responded back to me once, and I responded back to him, and he hasn't responded back since. And his response was not very reassuring. He made it seem like, you know, he's morally opposed to gambling and cannot stand by and watch people throw their lives away. Those were the terms he's using. And that to me says there's a huge disconnect between what reality is and what's in his head.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, that's really what it comes down to always is the argument of whether it's gambling or not. And naturally, most of the people that play this game that at least are on this site do not see it as a gambling situation.
Let's address this.
Okay.
So gambling essentially is you put money down to get something out. Right? You gamble every day, essentially. If we take it to the literal sense, everything you do is in some form or fashion a gamble. Now, the legal definition of gambling is where most people argue that it's not gambling. You know, they'll say, legally, this isn't gambling but if the law, which in Alabama's law, actually states that anytime you put money with the expectation of winning money, it is gambling, you know, any element of chance. So, same time, I turn around and I wonder why they haven't gone after the stock market or the bingo halls. But, you know,
you can't get rid of bingo. Come on. Bingo.
Get rid of bingo. Yeah. Well, you know those. Oh, I got a funny story about bingo.
Please.
Yeah. Before I went to Washington University, I was at a small liberal arts school in Austin College in north of Dallas.
Okay.
That's where I got my physics degree. And it was in a dry county. Sherman, Texas is in Grayson County, dry county. There was no bars, no alcohol. And the only entertainment to do was to go to a bingo hall. And because you could bring your own drinks in there in a cooler and sit down and play bingo and drink beer.
Oh,
and
wow.
that was a thing we did on Friday nights and Saturday nights in college. If you weren't going, you know, before you went to like a party or frat house or something.
I called bingo a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Back east, I went to visit there's a local church. They had a church bazaar. And for some reason, they let my brother and I, my brother Rubble 44, hello, hope you're listening, call bingo. And we just, He eventually will be, I'm sure. Probably in February or something, he'll get around to it. But I just have to check to see if he's listening. He'll mention it if he's said. And we were doing the whole B9, the tumor was B9. Before you leave, make sure you get some fried dough over at the, you know, we did all that stupid stuff. But for some reason, the jokes were new to them. So we were very entertaining on that. So, yeah. So, I mean, so you tend to think like Alabama pretty much is probably a strong, let's say, what percentage, what odds would you give? I know you're not allowed to gamble there, but what odds would you give toward it surviving in Alabama?
I think what's probably going to happen is there is a bill being worked on right now. It's had a few amendments added to it, and they seem to be adding amendments that would make it more prohibitive to smaller sites to come in. Mm-hmm. I won't go into details because I'm sure they're going to change by the time, you know, they go through another cycle or through committee. It's still in committee, basically. And there's a few legislators who are really wanting to get it passed because they recognize that it's not a harmful endeavor if it's regulated. It's not going to cause the apocalypse if they allow people to play fantasy sports for, you know, for money, as long as the sites can guarantee that that the consumer's protected. And that's all that's really needed to do. I think if I were to give a percentage on it, I would say about a 60% chance it'll be done by the end of next year, I guess. I don't hold out hope that they'll work fast in getting this.
Well, with people getting rid of college sports, that probably affects Alabama more than most states because Alabama is a college state. Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty much about college sports there. There's no pro teams or anything.
No,
like that,
there's no pro teams. Few people follow pro teams. Those who follow baseball follow the Braves, but not really. It's not a diehard fan mentality, at least from what I've seen. You know, it's not like being in Atlanta or in Georgia somewhere. But yeah, in general, we're an SEC country over here. This is all about college sports, which might be a driving factor in why they're getting attention. And maybe banning college sports would help get some legislation passed. Say, hey, I'm not even offering college sports, so get the NCAA, which would be, you know, which is a huge lobbyist, I assume, in Alabama. I'm not really sure if they are or not, but I would guess they are.
Maybe, see, I'm wondering if how this is going to continue if they start slowly ticking off states. Is it like Dean did? Are people going to become carpetbaggers and just move around from state to state just to keep playing the game? But
I know a couple of people who live near me who play. Who are talking about moving already.
Oh, but really?
they also play a very high volume, and to them it's a big loss.
Yeah, it's their income for the most part, or at least a strong supplement.
A large majority, a large part of their income. And if you work a permanent job that can, you know, if you work a full-time job that can afford you moving somewhere else, or if this is your full-time job, then yeah, I would absolutely move.
Yeah, but I mean, right now, I mean, you'd have to hit probably $1 million tournament for you to get out of the business that you're in right now, I would assume. Right?
I mean, $1 million. I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but it may not be enough. You know, I've got,
sure.
You know, if you think about what do you need to do this full time and to make it so that my wife would leave her job and my kids would move to a different school. And for me to quit my job, which, you know, I do fairly well in, $1 million would not be one of those things that, hey, I can go and now if $1 million came with along with an idea of something that I can do as a business or something like that, you know, as my own business on the side,
sure.
I might pursue that. But, you know, it won't be in DFS because the world does not need another tout site.
Now, the ones that are up are doing great, and they're fine.
The ones that are up are doing great. There's no way I can compete with any of them.
I understand completely, and that's fine. No, it makes sense. One last thing, because it's a running joke. Because of RotoGrinders, you've gotten to go to the parties, and I think did you go to the mansion also? Have you been to the mansion?
I have not been to the mansion. Oh, okay. I have been to the mansion. I've actually had the conversation with my wife, and She said that she's okay with me if I were to go to the, like if I were to qualify and go there and win some money, but the way she said it, it was like, "Oh sure, honey, you can do what you want."
So that means no. Okay.
With her, it never means no. It just means you do what you want. I'll do what I want. Maybe I'll come up with some weird trip. I don't want to tempt fate and see what she comes up with.
I will say this: if you got into the Playboy Mansion tournament, it's not. Oh, dangerous as I, if you want your wife to come on right now, I'll say it's okay. But what I was going to get at is because you've done some travel, a running joke between the two of us is the cuisine in Alabama.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So now that you've gotten to go around, because, you know, Tennessee's got some good cuisine. They got some good barbecue. And, you know, I live out here in Los Angeles. We're doing okay in the cuisine department. So, what is there in Alabama to eat there? But I mean, I assume barbecue's good.
Barbecue's a big thing out here. Yeah. See, I'm not a big pulled pork person, and that's all they love their pulled pork over here.
I would assume you're not. Yeah.
I'm not a big pulled pork, but I mean, ribs are good. I like brisket, but that's usually, you know, there's a couple of places. Alabama's got, let's see, what else we have here? I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff here. We have lots of food. We actually do have Chinese buffet. That's pretty good. And we have some Chinese takeout that can be phenomenal. You know, you get your General Tso's chicken.
Yeah.
You get it with some lo mein, and it's pretty good, man.
I have to say, I'm not thrilled with the Chinese food here in Los Angeles. And you'd think it would be huge here, and I don't get to Chinatown that often. Chinatown, downtown LA near Dodger Stadium. It's not the casual thing you could do. Oh, let's go to lunch in Chinatown today. It's not like that, you know. But Santa Monica, where I live, is not that exciting.
I can't imagine working in a big city with, like, you know, to go to lunch, you'd have to drive 45 minutes somewhere to, like, you know, through crazy traffic. And if it's not within walking distance, you probably wouldn't even go anywhere.
I mean, I do drive, but I mean, I make it very, have to plan it out. And lunch, right. I mean, lunches when I used to work, it was kind of understood you might be longer than an hour.
Yeah.
And you just had to make up for it somewhere else. I mean, most of the jobs I've had are not hourly positions necessarily. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of, you know, they understand sometimes you take a leisurely lunch now and then. But,
sure. We do that here as well. I mean, the best thing about – one of the nice thing about my job is I travel a lot for work. So it's a lot of times I end up in California a few times and up in Central California, north of San Bernardino.
Is that sure. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Vandenberg. San Luis Obispo.
Oh, all the party places in California.
All the party places, yep. Yeah.
Pretty much places with air bases and testing things and stuff like
pretty
that.
Much,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty
but
much,
yeah, yeah, you're not going to go to San Diego or Santa Barbara or something like that. It's always
every once in a while I go to Huntington Beach.
Okay.
Those are usually, you know, I'm in for a couple of meetings and I'm in a conference room for 12 hours straight, and then I'm getting on a plane again and flying home.
Wow.
It's not a leisurely trip.
We need to get Hesh some adventure. That's all. But, you know, and maybe I need some adventure. Maybe I need to get down to Alabama and eat the fine Chinese cuisine that you can have.
Come down to Alabama, check out the Chinese cuisine and our rocket skyline.
Wow. Boy, if that's not an invitation, I don't know what, you know. But, I guess that's it for tonight's show. I mean, you did a great job. I know how you were a little concerned at first. You were like, oh, what am I going to do? You did great. I just want to say right off the bat for your debut. Very, stronger than I did. Stronger than I did. I think the first time I did it, I was rambling all over the place. So
I'm pretty sure I rambled.
And if you want to follow Hesh, yeah, what's your Twitter, Hesh, by the way?
Oh, it's DFS underscore Hambazaza, which obviously I tried to do the Hambazaza straight up, but my uncle has that and he won't let go of it. So,
damn your uncle. Damn him.
Yeah, he needs to let go of that Twitter handle.
Yeah, you and Dean have the DFS. So DFS underscore HAMBAZAZA.
Spelling that's right.
Good. Right there. Yeah.
Good job. Yeah,
so I have some skills. but next week, everybody, we're going to have Drew Dinkmeyer on from Daily Roto. And we'll probably talk about Marquise Wilson and people like that at some point. I'm sure his name will come up. And
sandwich between Dean and Drew.
I know. Yeah, you're a star now. Accept it. And
if you have any listeners left after this episode,
you're good. You're great. You're great. Don't worry about it. But if you want to tweet or send a message to Hesh, you know, if you want to find out about getting into the blog program and things like that, please do. And I'm sure he'll be very helpful. For the eight of you that listen, at least two of you might respond. So it works out. I guess that's it this week. Look forward to talking to you soon, and have a good one, everyone. Good night.